From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. This is Nathan Baca.
I'm opening up a bag right now, since I have them inside this plastic baggie. I'm holding one right now. It says CM Scatshell, OC.
Nathan is an investigative reporter for the Washington television station WUSA 9. And earlier this month, he was tear gassed.
To be used by trained law enforcement, correctional or military personnel do not use for operations after 5 years from data manufacture, produced by the Safariland Group, Casper, Wyoming, part number 6170.
On June 1st, he was in Lafayette Square reporting on a major protest near the White House. That evening, President Trump walked to St. John's Episcopal Church for a photo op. And just before 7 p.m., law enforcement officers from at least three agencies cleared protesters from the area for the president's walk. Nathan picked up the canisters that had been fired at protesters by the police.
You know what it looks like? It looks like a shotgun shell, a very big silver metal shotgun shell. When you look on the inside, you see it's scored and scorched because something was launched there with some powder and it exploded out.
Soldiers cannot use tear gas on the battlefield, but domestic law enforcement can use it on American streets. Why? Well, that is the question we are exploring this hour. First, here's what happened to Nathan.
We got there just around 5:30, and everything seemed peaceful. It was a very diverse and energized group. We saw mothers and fathers with their children there. We saw middle-aged folks. We saw people who probably, I wouldn't be surprised, maybe had been there during the 1960s and some of the civil rights movement. People chanting, "Whose streets? Our streets." Chanting the name of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and others who had been killed in police brutality. This would have been right around 6 o'clock, and we found ourselves right on the fence line of Lafayette Square Park. We saw movements of police officers getting really close to the fence and getting to the fence line. And that made people nervous because they didn't know why they were advancing to the fence line just after 6 o'clock. Because everybody had known through the news coverage that 7 p.m. was going to be the curfew time. I heard a loudspeaker coming from the police side on Lafayette Square Park. The first time, I just couldn't make out what it was. It was garbled. Then I heard it again. A few minutes later, right around 6:15, one of our other photographers, Kurt Brooks, he thought, "I think they might be issuing a disperse order." And then, around 6:30, we heard the first flashbang, that pop. Sure enough, you see that human wave of people starting to scatter. They were afraid about what was happening. The first push was mostly about shock and awe. Stinger ball grenades and a lot of popping, banging. And that was the first wave, and then people started to kind of collect themselves right alongside the intersection of H and 17. At that point, would have been around 6:35, 6:40. We started to notice these gas canisters start to get rolled our way. I remember running through the smoke from those canisters, and it was like this yellowish green color. And I remember seeing this line of police just march south, almost like some Civil War battle line, just marching south, firing off these canisters. And they were launching them at distance. I won't forget that because they were like lobbying them, not rolling them. They were being fired as they were marching south on 17th, south of H Street, past Pennsylvania Avenue. I cried like I hadn't experienced before. Certainly wasn't an emotional cry. It was the cry of there's something burning your eyes and your tear ducts just won't stop. Becca, our photojournalist, she was just coughing quite a bit. We're running on adrenaline because we're all running south on 17th Street, south of H Street, and trying to get to safety because our security guard was just trying to pull us across the side of the street to avoid, as best we could, these gas canisters that are starting to keep on rolling past us. And you see in our video, as we're running, we change direction quickly to the right because we see a canister that is smoking this sort of yellowish-greenish tint rolling two people in front of us at our feet.
We're going to move to the right, across the street. Let's go.
We just watched it. We were We were still going live on our air on WSA9.
Mounted police are taking over this section of 8th Street as they're telling everybody to move back, but it's happening so quickly that people are basically tripping and collapsing.
And then we rounded the corner again after a little bit because I was hearing in my earpiece that the president was at the Rose Garden. Then we started to hear in the earpiece that president is walking across to the Episcopal Church, just where we were. The four of us, myself, photojournalist Becca Nyer, sports anchor Darren Hayes, and our security, our John, we were all just there at that intersection, and we started to take notice of the things that were on the ground, on the street, and we noticed these canisters or the remnants of this stinger ball grenade, and we just started to pick them up. Darren and I, we took those canisters and we split them up amongst each other. And I remembered, wait a minute, his looked slightly different. His had different markings on it. Mine was orange, his was light blue. And so I called him up and I said, I need you to show me, take a picture, what your canister looks like. And he did, and it was exactly how I remembered it. It was light blue and it said CS gas. I was like, that right there is further evidence that one of the agencies that cleared Lafayette Park that Monday used artificial tear gas, a gas that is something that everybody was denying was used, but it was used, and there was the evidence of it. When I view the video of what happened and still hear those screams of people confused, shocked, some cases physically hurt, you hear that and it takes you back to that moment. And whereas one could be thankful that most people escaped lasting injury, there may be a concussion here, burns and injuries there, it still was so shocking to all witness that as a communal group that it shakes one's understanding of what it is to be a citizen.
That's Nathan Baca. He's an investigative reporter at WUSA 9 in Washington, D.C. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.